This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is expected to announce his endorsement of Hillary Clinton at a campaign event in New Hampshire on Tuesday. The New York Times broke the story on Thursday, saying, quote, Mrs. Clinton is eager for party unity, especially since a sizable minority of Sanders supporters is resisting her. Sanders has clashed with Clinton and the party establishment over the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Medicare for All, and college debt, among other issues. It remains to be seen if he will be on the speaker list at the upcoming Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia in late July. Well, it's been a very interesting election year indeed, and joining me to discuss these latest happenings is Paul Song. He is a board-certified radiation oncologist. He's on the board of physicians for a national health program and People for the American Way. Paul is also the healthcare correspondent for our program. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Always great to be back.
So first, let's talk about this announcement that he's expected to endorse Clinton. I suppose none of us should be surprised. Some are surprised that he waited so long to do it. Others are angry that he's doing it at all. What is your position on what we expect will happen on Tuesday, which is Sanders joining Clinton on a stage in New Hampshire and endorsing her for president?
Well, I think, again, I cannot speak for the senator, but he's made it clear all along that his number one priority is to make sure that Donald Trump is not elected. And at the same time, I think he does want to bring about some unity in the Democratic Party, but while still staying true to his principles. And I think he is still, to the very last minute, fighting for those things. You saw him going out and speaking out against the GMO bill that was in the Senate. He has pushed the DNC to really include much more comprehensive benefits for college students, and you see the secretary now really advocating for that. Certainly, there are still some big issues that are at heart to a lot of his supporters, the TPP, Medicare for All, and I know as we speak today that there are people testifying before the full platform committee down in Orlando to try to make sure that those things are appropriately addressed in the platform.
And Sanders did say, just on this issue of Trump, he said, we have got to do everything that we can to defeat Donald Trump and elect Hillary Clinton. I don't honestly know how we would survive 4 years of a Donald Trump as president. I mean, in that sentence right there, he's essentially endorsed her, although it's not a formal endorsement. It's convenient, isn't it, for there to be in this election a figure so extreme, so racist, misogynist, extreme conservative. You can, you know, name one thing after another about Trump, that Hillary Clinton appears to be the choice candidate. And had we been in a completely different election year where there had maybe had been a slightly less extreme Republican candidate, we might have seen Sanders on the ticket. What do you think?
Well, you know, clearly it was a bruising primary, and I certainly have my share of scars to show for it, but I do think it was a vigorous, wonderful debate on the issues. The thing that I would say this is, I know a lot of friends of mine who supported the senator and who are very disappointed that he is now coming out to endorse Secretary Clinton. And I would just say this, that, you know, certainly everyone has their own right to feel their sense of outrage or their sense of support for the senator's decision. But I think you have to take a step back and look at what's happening, right? So everyone thinks that Donald Trump is very extreme, but people don't realize that the Congress is filled with people like that. That if you look at the Louis Gohmerts and you look at, you know, just the statements just that even came out of former Congressman Joe Walsh today.
Yes.
That, that I think that, you know, this lesser of two evils types of thing that some people are saying, you know, it's real. It's one thing if the House and Senate were not held by a majority that has advocated many of the positions that Donald Trump has. But now you've got three branches that potentially will all echo each other. And don't let the Paul Ryans and more of the quote, centrist Republicans fool you. They have in many ways espoused a lot of the rhetoric, maybe just not using such blatant code words or language as Donald Trump, but they have fought immigration, they have fought healthcare, they have fought environmental issues, they have fought any type of gun regulation. they've been very anti-immigrant in a lot of their comments, and certainly in their actions, and very anti-women. So
Trump is basically saying out loud what they've been saying in code for a long time, and that's a very good point.
And as I say, the checks and balances of the way our founding fathers set up our Constitution is that the three branches of government are there to keep balance on one another. But when all three branches are occupied by a very extreme wing of our society that espouses vitriol and really misogynistic rhetoric, it's really hard to say that voting for or endorsing Secretary Clinton is something that's negative. I think that you know, everyone has been very passionate during the primaries. And certainly people are very disappointed that when I talk about Senator Sanders' supporters, that he's not the nominee. And it's going to take some time for them to heal. I also do think, though, that the movement is much greater than Senator Sanders, right? So you have a lot of people that are now angry that he is going to endorse the secretary, and they are planning to take this movement beyond this election because obviously the issues still persist. But I do think that just if you look objectively, the idea of having three branches of government, there are numerous people that are just like Donald Trump in the Senate and also in the House of Representatives. That is absolutely frightening to me.
Let's talk about the discussion, or rather the fight within the DNC on healthcare. And this is an issue we've covered before. Bernie Sanders was very much supported by the National Nurses United. The nurses campaigned for him vigorously. And their main issue is single-payer healthcare or Medicare for all. And the DNC has just resisted in a full-throated way to endorse this position. Of course, Clinton herself, of course, very worried about undermining the President Obama's Affordable Care Act. What do you think is going to end up happening between now and the DNC on Medicare for all? Will we, you think, make very little motion within the DNC?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, when they had the sort of subcommittee, the vote was 7-6 with Representative Barbara Lee siding with the Medicare for All folks. But today, obviously, they're going to have testimony and the full platform committee will meet today. The fact is that 81% of Democrats are in favor of a Medicare for All system, and over 50% of the general population is in favor of a Medicare for All system. And I think when people take a step back, I understand the sort of the dilemma, right? So Democrats fought hard to get the ACA passed, and while it did do good things, now for them to say it's not good enough, I think that they're afraid that politically that's going to be problematic. But I don't think that it's an all or none. People aren't saying that we have to immediately start from scratch. We would build upon some of the positives of the ACA, but take it one step forward with the Medicare for All. The fact is that if we continue with our current status quo, one out of three people will not be able to afford going to see a doctor. This is with insurance because it can't afford the copays and deductibles. We'll still have 29 million people that are uninsured. 22% of seniors will not be able to afford their prescription drugs, and 35% will not be able to pay their medical debt. So that's not exactly, I think, an overwhelming success. And while the number of people who are uninsured has definitely gone down, the number of people who are underinsured, meaning that if they got sick, they wouldn't be able to afford their medical expenses despite having insurance, has actually increased. So I think that I'm hopeful that the testimony and the people that are testifying this week to the full committee will be able to change the tide for that. Overall, though, I think people need to realize that just having it in the platform is not enough. You know, in the state of California, we have it in our platform, the Democratic platform, to have a single-payer healthcare system. And yet when we had a bill go through the Senate many years ago, we had several Democrats who failed to vote for it or abstained, and it didn't pass. So just having something in the platform doesn't automatically guarantee that you'll ever see it enacted into law. But I do think that it needs to reflect the philosophy of the overwhelming majority of Democrats who in favor of single-payer Medicare for all.
Let's talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I think this is another really, really important issue. It's so important that the New York Times said in that article where they announced the endorsement that they said one possible obstacle to party unity, a fight between Sanders and Clinton allies over a congressional vote on the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal is not seen as a deal breaker to the eventual endorsement, the Democrats said. These are anonymous Democrats they talked to. Mr. Sanders wants language added to the party's policy platform opposing any view on vote on the deal, despite it being a high priority of the Obama administration. How much leverage does Sanders have, for these sorts of things? How high a price is he going to extract from Clinton for his endorsement? Because he does hold sway among the 12 million people who voted for him in the primary election, and I'm wondering why it's not a deal breaker, the TPP.
Well, it's very interesting. So let's remember that not only did Senator Sanders come out against the TPP, but Secretary Clinton, during the course of the campaign, also came out against the TPP.
She flipped, actually. This was really interesting. Yeah.
So you have the two candidates for president in the Democratic Party against the TPP, and yet the representatives in the platform committee voted to support TPP. And I think a large part of that is in deference to President Obama. But again, this is something where the overwhelming majority of Democrats are against the TPP. And my concern about the TPP is this, that is the one issue that I think Donald Trump could end up stealing votes away from Secretary Clinton.
Right. He came out strongly against it.
Exactly. And I think with all the other crazy rhetoric that comes from Mr. Trump's comments, that he has tapped into a feeling, particularly in, working middle class America, about the anxiety over trade deals that in the end hurt our middle class and, basically everyone. Now, this TPP deal, again, a lot of people don't know about it because it was negotiated in secrecy. But there are a lot of major issues that I think are going to be problematic. It has less protection for consumers and workers and small investors and in our environment. As a physician, what I'm very concerned about is the pharmaceutical industry enjoys greater patent protection, delaying cheaper generic drugs from hitting the market. And, I think this is something that it's really telling that we have an overwhelming majority of Democrats. You have both candidates saying they're against TPP, and yet it may not be in our platform.
Let's talk about the fact that the Sanders campaign is hoping for some kind of presence at the DNC. Now, Sanders is meeting with Clinton in New Hampshire on Tuesday, and people are expecting him to be able to at least take to the stage. Whether it's going to be that or a roll call vote, which is what others want, remains to be seen. What do you think, just when you think about issues that matter to progressives, what do you think the ideal scenario at the DNC could be, short of course, Sanders being magically named the nominee, especially now that Hillary Clinton is getting away with her private email server shenanigans?
Well, I unfortunately think to the winner goes the spoils. Mm-hmm. And we saw that with when President Obama became the nominee, he was able to install who he wanted at the DNC. He immediately removed Howard Dean, who many of us thought did an outstanding job. So I'm not very optimistic that Senator Sanders is going to have much influence in who goes into the DNC, particularly now since Debbie Wasserman Schultz has basically been marginalized with the appointment that Secretary Clinton made to the DNC. This is the real issue, right? I think it's a perfect storm that what you're seeing is even if Senator Sanders doesn't fully get what he wants with regard to the TPP, Medicare for All, fracking, that he looks at the greater risk of what President Trump will do to our country. And I think that's brought him much more to this position. Now, I hope the DNC and Secretary Clinton do show the senator some deference, knowing that he does have a big following and gives him an opportunity to prime speaking position to really rally the masses and to unite our party. But really, that's beyond anything that I can predict. All I can hope right now with this week, with the platform full committee meeting, is that we get a full progressive voice represented in a lot of our positions, and that's reflected in the platform.
The other big question remains who Hillary Clinton may announce as her running mate. Some people have strongly hoped for Elizabeth Warren. Now, Elizabeth Warren just recently was featured in a Credo video, online video by Credo, where she came out very strongly against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There's been reports of Hillary Clinton's Wall Street backers kind of withdrawing their support during the general election if Elizabeth Warren is picked as a VP running mate. What do you think? First of all, do you think that Elizabeth Warren would pull Clinton to the left, help her get Sanders voters? And second of all, how likely is such a scenario?
I think that of all the potential nominees, and I will say this, I know Senator Tim Kaine quite well, and I have a lot of respect for him. He lived in Virginia for a long time, but as far as from a progressive standpoint, listen, a lot of us before Senator Sanders ever decided to run for president were hoping and praying and pushing Senator Warren to run. And she chose not to. Now that she is being considered, I think that's probably the best choice that I could think of as a vice presidential candidate. I do think that at least she would be able to advocate a lot of the positions that you and I and our progressive friends believe in. And it's better to have that representation at a high level than not. Now, you could argue that this will be a telling point, right? If she is chosen, I think that will say a lot about what Secretary Clinton is planning to do with regard to being independent from Wall Street. So I think I'm of all the choices, I think obviously I would love to see her be selected.
Finally, Paul, do you think that Bernie Sanders's run can be summed up by bringing progressive issues to the front and center and pushing Hillary Clinton far more to the left than she ever wanted to go, at least in terms of campaign rhetoric? What sort of president she turns out to be will be a whole nother story. But having her on record, going on record and making pledges that are far to the left than she really wanted, would you say that's his biggest achievement?
I think his biggest achievement is yet to come. I think he has invigorated a group of progressives who really felt beaten up. As you remember, when Senator Obama became president and appointed Rahm Emanuel chief of staff, the first thing he did was dismiss progressives, right? He really kind of threw us under the rug, not the president, but Rahm. And I think that we kind of felt that we were sort of lost. And I think what you're seeing is unprecedented numbers of young people getting involved, signing up to work on campaigns in local elections. You're seeing people like Zephyr Teachout and others who are running and winning their primaries. And I do think that that's where you're going to see the residual. It goes beyond this primary and this election. It has to be a sustained movement. I was at the People Summit several weeks ago, which really brought a lot of these people together. And I will tell you, this is not going away. This is going to get stronger. People are organizing. People are getting ready to run. And I think that that's where you're going to see the residual effect of the Sanders campaign. As far as where that leads to policy, I think that, what you saw Secretary Clinton this week come out with a proposal to make college tuition free for state colleges for people making less than 100, families making less than $125,000. That wasn't something that I think would have happened without Senator Sanders in the campaign. She's also now advocated for a public option, which I do believe, again, it's a start. It doesn't go as far as I'd like to see, but those are the things that I think having someone really run to the left that resonated shows that you can be more progressive in our country, and you can even call yourself a democratic socialist and really have impactful impact on policy now, which is very encouraging. So I think what I would say to all of your listeners is it doesn't end With Senator Sanders' endorsement of Secretary Clinton, the work is just beginning. We need to elect people who will really advocate for the things we all believe in.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck to you. I'm sure we'll have you back on between now and November numerous times.
Thank you very much.
Paul Song is a board-certified radiation oncologist and on the board of Physicians for National Health Program and People for the American Way. He's also our healthcare correspondent. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.